Is this, can people hear me? It's right at my lips here. Are we good? Okay, thank you. I'm Ron Pinchback, General Manager of WPFW. I want to say greetings to the Pacifica National Board members, to LSB representation, and to the citizens of New York, and to the listeners who are here from other signal areas. Welcome, welcome, welcome. As part of this transition plan, WPFW does have some concerns and some issues that it will have to address within that 90-day period. Okay, there we go. Before I get started about to talk about the 90-day plan or objectives, shall I say, for WPFW, I'd like to give you some current status issues with the station. We just completed another successful fund drive, our winter fund drive. We had a goal of $450,000. We raised $545,000. Our listenership is up according to the fall Arbitron ratings. Our national news headline package that we originated at WPFW back in November is now taken by several, well, by WBAI, there's some talk about taking it at KPFK, but more importantly, it's also being taken by a growing number of our affiliates. I'm very proud of that particular product because we were told it couldn't be done. We are now upgrading our studios on an interim basis because our move is imminent. But we did have some equipment needs that we had to address on an immediate basis. That's being done. We are expanding our outreach and development thanks to the local station board. We've got some very, very dedicated LSB members who are enthusiastically embracing the activities of that committee, and we look forward to the projects that they are in, that they are planning. We're also on target to achieve our 1 month's revenue reserve that was mandated by the PNB. So I guess we may be doing a few things right at WPFW, despite some of the rhetoric otherwise. Priorities. As you know, relocation is the most important issue for us right now because it is coming like that proverbial train down the tunnel. Our lease is up in the fall. As part of that relocation process, we have to develop a national and local capital campaign to get those that $250,000 that Lonnie mentioned as part of the new as part of that move package. That's just to initiate the move. It's going to take more than $250,000, obviously, to relocate our station. Part of that process is selecting a site. We've begun that process, and we will escalate it with the help of some LSB members who are also very, very interested in helping in that project. As part of that, we also have to negotiate a limited extension of our current lease. And we also have to begin assessing the infrastructure needs for that new location, not only for WPFW, but for the Pacifica News Bureau, which will be housed in that building as well. The idea here is to develop a state-of-the-art facility for WPFW and the Pacifica News Bureau in that site, and that's why the partnership with National is so critical to helping us achieve that move and achieve these goals. We also want to start looking at expanding our staff. As you know, WPFW has one of the smallest staffs in the network, 12 people. So before we do that, we'll want to work with the LSB to get a station staffing needs assessment to see what positions we do need, how we fund those positions, and how many of those positions we will hire. So that's going to be important to us, because as the station has grown, we have a lot more responsibilities. We have a lot more duties. And we need additional staff to achieve those things, to maintain the growth that we've initiated. But once again, what's important before hiring anyone is to assess the needs of the station. And I'll be working closely with the LSB to make that happen. We also want to expand our web capabilities. Program archiving by May 1st is our goal. I've had some brief conversations with Pete Caracas. We're going to be talking about this next week, and I'll be setting up some meetings with our tech committee there at the station to find out how we can do that. But the goal is to do that by May 1st. We also want to enhance our e-commerce capabilities. That's going to be a very, very important part of any future fundraising that we do at the station. Right now, our development team is working very, very hard, and we want to make, it's not that we want to make their job easier, but we want to give them a greater variety in terms of source of revenue. Because the old, well, I shouldn't say the old model, but the current model of just asking listeners for donations, as you know, is finite. There's only so much we can get out of folks, and we have to explore other ways. That's a network problem, and each station has to approach it, you know, in its own way. So those are some of the goals that we have for 90 days. Are they achievable? Absolutely. Why? Because the LSB that we have at WPFW is very energized, very involved, very dedicated. The staff at WPFW, same way. And I want to thank the staff, by the way, the programmers, the volunteers, the paid staff, everyone that has made all of our success possible. I want to thank Dan Coughlin for being a friend to WPFW. Because WPFW wasn't always this way. We used to have to, when you talked about not having money for the payroll, not having money for equipment, there were times when we had to come to the network for those funds. So we are extremely ecstatic about not being in that position at this time. And we do not want to get back in that position. So thanks, Dan Coughlin, for all of your support to WPFW family. We really appreciate it. Now, I want to address something here that was talked about earlier, because there was some information put out to you folks that I can only say were total misrepresentations. 2 years ago, every day on the news, we saw the reason we were going into Iraq were weapons of mass destruction. We heard it every day. The reason I bring that up is because it was done for a reason. You tell a story long enough, loud enough, people will begin to believe it. There was no opportunity in the media to refute that notion. Consequently, the American folks bought it, and you know the rest of that story. So that brings me to the present. weapons of mass disinformation. It was said here today that me, a station manager, hired an assistant program director. Will somebody please tell that guy to show up for work? There is no hire in that position. I could certainly use the help. So, if you know who that person is, please tell him to show up. There was talk about hiring friends. The people that were brought in, three people, two part-time producers and an interim news director. There have been no permanent hires by this station since I've been there. Permanent hires have to go through the process. The positions have to be posted. Candidates have to be vetted. And that process is mandated by bylaws. I would never violate that process. The positions that were brought on because of the November elections. We were short-staffed. I didn't have a program director. I didn't have a news director at that time. And excuse me, but the election is news. And I have a responsibility to our listeners and to this network to bring WPFW up to speed in terms of gathering its news. Each of those persons that were brought on to do that. Each of those persons that were brought on were also informed that these are consultant positions. They are not permanent positions. And that at the end of that, consultancy, they would have to apply like anybody else for those positions. And this is where expanding the staff comes in, because we do have needs. We do have to hire some producers, some permanent people, because we need it. We do have to hire a permanent news director, because we need it. So how do we do that? Well, we do it the way it's mandated. You post the position, you accept candidates, and you make a selection. I've talked with the LSB about this. They know that this process must begin. I'd like to have these positions in place on a permanent basis, you know, by June. So what does that mean? Does that mean my friends will get the jobs? No. These people are not my friends. These people are colleagues. Except Mark. So the point is, folks, there is a process. There is a goal in sight. Despite what you heard, you also heard there was no news on WPFW. Well, you were right back in October. That's exactly why I said that at the PMB meeting, I told you exactly what we were going to do at WPFW. We were going to initiate a headlines package in conjunction with Vernon Avery Brown to produce a national headlines package. He was already employed by the network. I didn't hire Vernon Avery Brown. She is not on WPFW's payroll. But she needed help to put that headlines package together. So WPFW stepped up to the plate, hired a couple of part-time producers to help in that process. But those producers were hired as consultants, not permanent employees, and that was to get that project started. Those people involved know that their tenure is limited and that the process dictates that people will have to go through the process to be hired. Those individuals know that. That was the first thing that was discussed with them. So there are no new permanent hires at WPFW.
We're at an hour and 8 minutes, just for that.
There was also mentioned that the DC Radio Co-op has been denied access. Let me just say this. I just met with the co-op again last week to discuss this very issue. For WPFW, the equation is simple because it applies to everyone. Whether you belong to the DC Radio Co-op, whether you belong to the Blackstone Rangers, it doesn't matter. If you are producing something for the station, if you are producing content or assisting in that production, you have access to WPFW. There's no issue there. All you have to do is do it. All you got to do is walk through the door. Now, we did have some security issues, so we've initiated some security protocols. People who are producing for WPFW will be given ID cards that guarantees their access. No big deal. That right extends to everybody, everyone. It's universal. So, please don't be misled by that, because it's not true. It is absolutely not true. At our last LSB meeting, I endorsed a resolution regarding the DC Radio Co-op and the work that they do. There's no issue for me about the work that they do, but there's no issue for me about the work that other volunteers do at our station.
Hour and 10 minutes.
All right.
On this section.
All right, I'm going to wrap this up. So let me just say this. Let me just say this. I asked that each of you board members in particular, each of you board members, that you don't believe the hype. If you want to know, talk to our board members. Talk to me. Ask me questions. I'm forthcoming. I have nothing whatsoever to hide. Nothing. Zero. It is not my station. That station belongs to the Washington community. I work for the people. I work for Pacifica. That's it. So, once again, there are a lot of lies going, it's being circulated, a lot of misinformation being circulated. There are two sides to every coin. Please respect that process. Please respect that. We have over 250 volunteers at WPFW who are functioning on a daily basis and making that station work. Respect them. Respect what the station has done. And above all else, respect the integrity of process, meaning listen. Get the facts. Get the facts, because the facts are available. The facts are available. Thank you very much.
Eva, just before Eva starts, and I don't want to, restrict her, but I think every GM should have the time that they thought they were going to have when they came here, no more, no less. So I'm hoping that someone is taking time. And I don't know how many minutes the GMs are allowed.
They were allotted 15 minutes under the original agenda.
Okay, each. So Mr. Chair, was that the understanding that they had when they came here? Okay. It's not. Hey, nothing. Nothing is too late, Miss. Who said
Donna,
that?
I'll try and make it quick.
We might stay till midnight.
Go ahead. You know, if you want a woman, I'd say you're sexist. I'm the only female on this team, so I should have my time. Anyway, I'll be quick. I promise. I'm Eva George, the general manager of KPFK. I would like to firstly thank Don Roas and Dan Coughlin for their commitment to the network and wish them well in whatever challenges they embark on in their life next. KPFK, as most of you probably know, we've had another successful fund drive. We had another $1 million fund drive. We reached more than 100,000 K over our projected budget. And that, of course, was in 13 days, so we are very proud of that. A couple of things that's going on. I think Dave Adelson just reminded me. We have just completed the building of workstations, 12 new workstations for volunteers at KPFK. We're launching an expanded news at K this coming Monday. So part of our news will include headlines on the hour at KPFK and an expansion of local news. We are also launching our bilingual website next week at KPFK. In terms of just web traffic, we average 3.5 million hits to our site now with 75,000 unique visitors. During our February fund drive, we had more than 4 million hits to KPFK site. A couple of the transitional issues for KPFK in the 90-day process with the ED transition is that we have a roof that's been patched for more than 10 years, and it's leaking into the archives as well as our telco room, which is the nervous system of our broadcasting environment. So we have not been able to do an assessment because of the rain in L.A. We have not been able to make an assessment of what the cost would be. We hope to do that in the next couple of weeks as we get some more dry weather. The FCC granted KPFK a booster for Malibu, which we applied to for about 2.5 years ago. And that booster will allow us to broadcast 15, 20 miles along Pacific Coast Highway where we don't have any signal for KPFK, but lots of listeners with lots of money. So that's a good thing. We are indeed in need of backup generators at KPFK. We have at least 4 major power failures at KPFK a year or for the last 2 years, and I'm sure that the city or the government has absolutely nothing to do with that. But we definitely need backup generators. We're talking about a capital campaign, and this is something in terms of a new building that still has to be discussed with the staff and the local station board. But we have a building that has a lot of health issues and it has serious concerns for the staff. HD conversion, I think Pacifica really needs to get ready for this. This is the opportunity for 5 additional broadcast stations within Pacifica, and we are, I believe, all are doing our HD applications for April to the CPB. Race and nationality, I'm actively working with the Race and Nationality Committee at K. We have submitted a grant for race and nationality, or one component of that, to the CPB, and it was to have the daily Spanish language national newscast. In addition, we are planning our first training on race and nationality at K is happening within 2 weeks, and we will do monthly trainings on race and nationality at KPFK. We've also started audio archiving. We're looking at web video archiving, at video streaming and archiving at KPFK, as well as podcasting. So that's it for me. Thank you very much.
Wasn't long enough. Come back.
Okay, Eva threw down the time gun, and I'm going to pick it up and see if I can beat that. I want to start off by just saying that I'm really glad to be here in New York. I don't need to say hello to most of you national board members because it seems like I just saw you a few weeks ago. But there is someone new here from Houston, and I want to acknowledge Ngozi Kamau for being here, and also Teresa Allen, who is here. And she's sitting on the other side of the table now, but she's still as valuable as she was on your side. Also, Steve Pierce, welcome aboard, and good luck. Thank you for coming down from Troy. A lot of things were preemptively spoken by our wonderful LSB chair, Sue Young, this morning. Was that this morning? Okay. And so I'm also very proud of Susan. She's a great LSB chair. We have a really good working relationship. We get together for breakfast at least one day a week and make sure we're at least on the same page as far as, you know, which kind of eggs we like and such. We work that out. If you don't know, KPFT celebrated its 35th anniversary on March 1st of this year. I'm wearing the commemorative KPFT 35th anniversary T-shirt available for purchase on our website. There's an amazing quote from Lou Hill on the back of this, and it says, "As long as I can communicate, I can create, and as long as I can create, I am free." And I think that speaks to what we try to do at KPFT, and I think collectively that's something that we all try to do. And I just realized in starting to say what I was going to say that I've already lost the ability to beat Eva's time record here. The priorities in Houston over the next 90 days are basic. They're very simple ones. Our renewal of our license, one of the only five licenses Pacifica has. We put the paperwork in yesterday. Our license expires on the 31st of July, and our new license will begin on August 1st. So we're dealing with that process and making sure that it goes through and that it's successful. We also have an interesting process that we're going through with the City of Houston as far as an occupancy certification program, and we have issues with permitting as far as electrical, plumbing, and structural that are being dealt with. We have a deadline of later this month of April to make significant progress on all of those. We have successfully completed nearly all of the electrical work and plumbing work. The structural work is a bit more problematic, and I'm not going to go into any deep details on that, but it's being dealt with, and that will be successfully worked out over this next 90 days. We also are going through an interesting time because our program director now works for the national office as the national technology director, and you see him at every board meeting because he's been doing this for years. I hope you appreciate the fact that Otis McClay is kind of a tech wizard, and I hope you, you know. And he's busy back there doing it right now. We're very happy that Otis is doing this now with the network. We're very happy that we were fortunate enough that one of our co-news directors, Ernesto Aguilar, has taken on the role of interim program director, but we'll be going through a formal PD search process over the next 90 days. The $150,000 budget plan, Susan mentioned it in passing this morning, and I just wanted to expand on that a little bit. I asked the development and finance committee members of our local station board to meet with me to do some strategic brainstorming, because when we look at projections, and that $150,000 shortfall is basically, as Susan said this morning, we were 7% short on our first drive back in October. We were 20% short in our second drive of the year in February. If we continue on that downward glide slope, we would end up at the end of September $150,000 short. $110,000 of that is the 1 month's nest egg, or the 1 month operating expenses. There's another $40,000 in actual money that we would be short. Now, that's projecting bad things the whole rest of this year, increasingly worse things. We don't anticipate that, but we've made plans to deal with that eventuality. And whenever Pacifica stations, I mean, what we've got, when we need to get money, we go on the air and we ask people to give it to us, right? We don't want to go on 12 extra days asking people for money. No one wants us to do that. None of the programmers, none of the staff, nobody on the board. I don't think even any of the listeners want us to do that. So this planning session with the board, I think, was very fruitful. We came up with pages of things. We came up with a plan that we were calling our 6x25 plan. But what I was able to do with Lonnie just in the past couple of days is we took essentially pieces of these plans that were much more solid than others, including about $14,000 in cost reductions from such line items as a folio that we're not going to be producing for the rest of this fiscal year, $3,000 in conference and training budget line that we're not going to spend the rest of this year and such. There's also $72,000 in added revenue from such things as making over $10,000 net on the Amy Goodman visit the other night. That was an unbudgeted item as well. So we anticipate doing about $72,000 in revenue generating that was not in the budget. It is in this revised budget that Lonnie has worked on with me in the last 2 days. $14,000 in cost reductions. That's a difference of $86,000. That means that we don't have to go on the air 12 extra days between now and the end of September. It means that we still have to go on the air about 9. And we're going to project that we're going to need a 2-week fund drive in May and a 2-week fund drive in August. If we can raise more money out of this $150,000 plan that's not as solid, for every $15,000 we raise, we'll reduce the fund drive in August by a day. We would like to reduce that down to 1 week, not two. So that's the goal. So that's our 90-day plan. That's what we're working on. And I just wanted to say that, you know, one of the things, I appreciate all the hard work that everyone here does as a volunteer, coming to these board meetings. I also just wanted to express my appreciation to the administrative council that I get to be a part of as one of the general managers. The general managers and Brian from the archives as the director of the archives, and Lonnie and Dan and I, we get together for a day before all these meetings, you know this. And these are some of the most fruitful and productive times that I've had working professionally with my colleagues on this administrative council. And the fact that two of them are going to be leaving in the very near future is disturbing. I wish both Don and Dan well, and I know that they will do well at whatever they choose. It's been a real privilege to work with people of this caliber, and I just want to thank them for that opportunity, and thank you.
Okay. In terms of the, my name is Ursula Rudenberg. I'm the affiliates coordinator for Pacifica National. And in terms of the next 90 days, our priorities are to finish launching a website for the affiliates program for Pacifica. It's probably going to be done within the next 2 weeks. where there's our major professional conference happens on April 13th. So that's going to be kind of the launch date for a new website. It's a beautiful website. It's being created by Pete, the web manager for Pacifica. And it's called PacificaNetwork.org. So in about 2 weeks, if you want to look for yourself what's happening with the affiliates program, that information will be available. The website will really have three purposes. One is to market the program to radio stations, to potential affiliates. The second is to provide an information resource for the affiliates that we have. All sorts of, as you can imagine, there's all sorts of operation and informational stuff that needs to be generated all the time. And the third is really for people, the general public. A lot of people want to know as they take that road trip across the country where they can find Pacifica affiliates, because it's a good map of where community radio stations are. And so there'll be a map so you can keep track of the affiliates yourself from now on instead of having to listen to my reports. So that's exciting, and going along with that will be an online database so that we can begin to kind of move from a rinky-dink operation put together through shoestring to a real operation that has a public presence and a good way of processing information. I remember at our retreat, the processing of information was a large priority for how to get this organization working well. The completion of the negotiations with Free Speech Radio News are a big priority for the affiliates program. I'm very excited. Yesterday we spoke for quite a while with quite a number of people in the kind of spontaneous work groups that broke out during the afternoon, and it was really great to see that this process is well on its way. The negotiating team from Free Speech Radio News called me this morning to let me know that they're holding steady, even though they're shook by the news that they're losing Dan, because there's an old history with you. They're holding steady. They're eager to move on this quickly so that we can get the process completed, and to get to bring news into Pacifica. Pacifica will have its own news department on a national scale. In terms of long-term projects, we're approaching the point where we feel that we have stabilized the program to the point where we can start really looking ahead and think about where we want to go with this. The program is doing well. It's in terms of income, it's ahead of where we plan to be, so we know we're not in trouble. So it's possible to begin thinking of new services. But what I mean that is, as we keep adding affiliates, we're at I think we have 70 now, and our goal for the year of 100 is coming. Probably will be reached. And this is good news, partly because it's great to have clients and it helps the network to get heavy income, but more because it really does begin signifying a real network of independent radio stations, which is really a spirit of partnership between the community radio stations and Pacifica. And this is meaningful in this day and age of media consolidation, that indeed it is possible and happening that a real network of independent media is coming together and beginning to have a real presence. And this morning actually was kind of cool. I gave the password to our first international member of the network, Bush Radio from South Africa. They contacted me at the end of this week and asked for a password. So it's our first contact outside of the country, and so that was kind of a cool thing to have happened this morning. We're also reaching into other demographics. We just did a quick marketing campaign to the 45 college stations that belong to black colleges, and so far three have signed on. So that's real exciting. It's a whole new culture that's coming into the affiliate network. And there's obviously other areas we can go to that are both inside and outside of this country to bring them into the dialogue. In terms of other services, there are other areas we can go into. Lonnie mentioned earlier there are different ways to think of affiliation that can be explored. A lot of thought has to be put into this as to how it's appropriate, how it feels right to everybody. But I think that Pacifica does have so much valuable information that we can find how, in the spirit of community, we can begin to broaden our definition of how to get it out. We also, in the long run, we are going to... Also, just to mention briefly, in terms of new services, the FSRN negotiation, for those of you that were in the work group, that and some of you are here still, that spoke about yesterday, it became obvious pretty quickly that as we bring in a new news department, it's also going to be a revolution in what kind of stuff we can generate, from headlines to, you know, the sky's the limit, really. So that's exciting. And the other area of new services for affiliates is we are going to very rapidly be revolutionizing the way we service our affiliates. The audio port was a quantum leap forward. Now that we have it, there's going to be all sorts of new ways that we can work with our affiliates, and I'm going to leave that to Pete to go into because that's more of a technical thing. In terms of long-term goals, we also do need to work towards a full-time technical staff person in the network to really provide this kind of service, and that would be great in the nearer future than farther, we'll see. And then, of course, with in anticipation of the bylaws convention, there are some, the whole issue of how the PNB affiliate members are brought in, needs to be revisited. It was done quickly when it was done, and there's some glaring problems with it that luckily haven't shown up yet, but could very soon. And we need to work together, obviously, with the board members on figuring that out. So thank you very much. I do want to welcome our new affiliate representatives, Marty and Steve. And I want to thank them for coming and volunteering to do this work and to really acknowledge the vast body of information that you are bringing to the network by doing that. And lastly, I do want to thank Dan. I don't know where he is. He's behind me. And I want to thank him. I think it's pretty obvious by now that all of us that have worked for Dan no longer really owe him anything. He has nothing over us anymore, but we clearly are grateful to him. I'm grateful to him. And for the way that he has embodied the Pacifica tradition of cutting-edge journalism and activism, and also my gratitude for you for the tremendous amount of information and the way you have been able to embody the incredible contradictions that this network represents, and have done it without really asking for any pity, which is pretty astonishing thing to do. Thank you.
Hi, everybody. I'm Brian DeShazer from the Pacifica Radio Archives. And I'd like to support all of my colleagues in what they said, both about the Administrative Council and our reaction to Dan and Don leaving. Don has really helped the archives in solidifying the relationship between the archives and WBAI staff, Bernard, Kathy Davis, Janet Coleman, and just in this past fund drive, with those relationships being more solid. The archives helped pitch archives premiums on some of the stations and doubled the revenue generated by those premiums at the five stations. WBAI, Mark Torres in the archives and myself pitched five nights in a row from 10 to 12 midnight at our own expense. This was our volunteerism to help understand what we have to offer the stations and help communicate that to the listeners. So we appreciate that, Don. And also with Dan, I'd like to acknowledge what he did for the archives. In 1999 and 2000, there was no funding base for the archives. When central services and all the money had been taken away, there was no structure for the archives to do anything else but to go on the air and raise funds for ourselves and create other funding mechanisms. So I do acknowledge and attribute the success of the archives in the past 4 years to Dan, and I appreciate that, Dan. Thank you. Of course, it couldn't have been possible with a great staff of seven: Mariana, Arlene, Mark, Sean, Andrea, Edgar, And we're really proud of what we do. And I'd like to say in the next 90 days for the archives, what's really important because of Dan's relationship with the archives, these funding mechanisms must be solidified and so that we understand them as we go into this transition. Mail drop with the catalog. We put out 40,000 catalogs to an acquisition mailing. It didn't do so well, but we have another 50,000 sitting in boxes waiting to go out. So in the next 90 days, we're going to either drop the catalog or switch to a direct mail letter so that we can raise more funds. We'll test both. The one-day fund drive was by the good graces of Dan and the five GMs. We would like in the next 90 days through this transition period to make that either a mandate, board policy, station policy, I don't know what form it comes in, but the archives needs to be assured that financially we can become do more work than what we're doing because the funds will be there. If we don't have that one-day fund drive, we will not have the money to continue meeting our budget needs. And finally, Save Our Sound Tour, which will start on this Monday. I leave tonight at 3 a.m., go back to L.A., and get in a car and drive across country for a month. What this, the background on this, when we took through the NEA grant, the Recording Academy grant, we took 44 master tapes to Philadelphia to Safe Sound Archive for special preservation. Details about what special preservation I don't really want to waste time on because I know we're way past time. Go onto our website, PacificaRadioArchives.org. You can learn more about what that special preservation is. The master tapes are magnetic, and they cannot be shipped. They cannot go on a conveyor belt. They cannot go through x-ray machines when you check baggage in the airports. So last time we went, we hand-carried them, Mark and myself, in bags on the plane in the overhead compartments. We could only carry 44. I'm not that strong. So what happened was the TSA stopped me and did not inspect the bags without it going through the x-ray machine. Short of getting arrested, the tapes did go through the x-ray machines. Luckily, none were ruined. None were damaged, and they've all been restored. However, it did highlight that we cannot count on the airport, United Airlines, or any other airlines, or the TSA people to understand that was the only recording of Dylan Thomas that went through the magnetic machine. So all the grant people, all of our consultants, decided that we had to drive the tapes out. So in doing so, we created a program or an event, a publicity campaign, stunt, whatever you want to call it, but to get as much bang out of our buck. The grant money, the fund drive listeners, the stations, the Ford Foundation, UC Berkeley, all of which have given money to preserve specific tapes. So 170 tapes will go with us across country starting on April 4th, covering the categories of protest rallies and more arts recordings, UC Berkeley's the Vietnam era recordings, and those will go for special preservation. Along the way, we have four elements that we want to cover and create. The first is in the preservation and access, making these tapes of digitized and available and more accessible. Our outreach program is visiting affiliate stations along the way, and we're visiting up to four affiliate stations plus some of our own stations. Berkeley, on Tuesday night, we're holding a fundraiser collaboratively with KPFA for the archives tour. And then we go to Minneapolis, Wisconsin, KFAI. Then we go to Madison, Wisconsin, WORT. Then we go to Baltimore at NFCB conference. We come back and we go to KGNU in Boulder, Colorado, and Marty Derlin and the Naropa University is collaborating together with the archives in creating a fundraising event. The Naropa University, if anybody doesn't know, is who has the Allen Ginsberg papers and the Allen Ginsberg collection. What you may not know is that the rare recordings that we have in the archives of Ginsberg reading Howl on the air initially, which precipitated the FCC ruling of obscenities, the recording that is now banned. We have a recording that was broadcast. To this day, we cannot air that unedited. That tape is going to be shared with Naropa University, as well as the other panel on Howell, Why We Can't Hear Howell, with Ferlinghetti, Ginsberg, and our founder, Lewis Hill, speaking about that censorship in the media. So these are vitally important to our collective memory, the Pacifica identity, the Pacifica history, and we're making them more accessible as we go across the country. In addition to the, let's see, number three, is more accessibility to the content information. And we're visiting universities along the way and making available copies of these recordings, now that they're preserved and digitized, for study. We are visiting Howard University, Temple University, University of Wisconsin, Naropa University, I already mentioned, and donating these copies so that they can enter in the curriculum of academia. Malefi Asante at Temple University, those students for the first time will be able to hear the voice of W.E.B. Du Bois and Malcolm X and Fannie Lou Hamer. And in presenting and introducing the collection to the faculty and students, I'm proud that we'll start bleeding that information and content and Pacifica identity, remember, where this recording originated, into academia so that it bleeds through education. And what that hopefully will do is motivate youth to understand what Pacifica is, what it means, and what it can do, and how have them become involved. And finally, the most fun part is in driving across country, the group that's going are hikers and campers, and we created a environmental education project using geocaching. If you don't know that, I know I'm talking long, so go to geocaching.com or the archives website, click there, figure it out, where we are working with Sierra Club in depositing environmental education recordings for a game. Figure it out. We go to the website. But at that, and that, I think we need to get on with the meeting, and I appreciate your attention and time. Thank you.
Hello. I'll be very brief. My name is Pete Karakis. I work for Pacifica. I maintain the website, pacifica.org, and there's some exciting things going on in the next few months. But briefly, I do want to say a couple of quick things. I do want to acknowledge some people. I'm here standing, but I want to acknowledge Sean Ewald, who helped me produce the audio port. Without him, the audio port would not be around today. I want to acknowledge John Almella and Otis McClay back there. The additional human resources that's been allocated to the web, I hope I can leverage to the maximum, and we can get the most bang for our buck here. But I do thank you, folks, for making the resources available. I want to thank Dan Coughlin and Lonnie specifically for making the human resources available, and for the last few years, when I asked for my ideas and I pushed for web stuff, I want to thank you guys for the solidarity and for making some of this stuff happen. Thank you. I also want to thank the LSBs and the PMBs. You all are volunteers. You come here and you deal with a lot of grief, and I appreciate it. I know folks are not the nicest all the time, especially here in New York. I'm a New Yorker, if you can't tell. So bless you all. I appreciate you all, and even if we don't get along all the time, I want to say I genuinely love everyone in here. It's been great seeing some folks from New York I haven't seen in years, and hopefully we won't meet like this all the time. Okay, so thank you. Finally, actually, the most important is, as I said, the community. I love seeing you guys. You guys jack me up. You charge me up when I work all day, and thank you very much. I appreciate it. Okay, having said that, we have a few sites going live in the next few months. These sites all come based off an application called Mambo. It's an open source application. If you folks don't understand open source, it's exactly what we've been doing for 55 years. It's basically volunteerism, but on a technical level. It's really the model that I think Lou Hill developed is basically what the technicians took and have developed this international programming resources that we're trying to leverage for you guys. So this Mambo application is what KPFK uses, allows for a bilingual website, it's what BAI uses, and has allowed for tremendous growth. I'm using this application for the Pacifica Network site that Ursula mentioned, as well as the other few sites. Very briefly, the Pacifica Network site is going to be really, really big. It's going to allow for affiliates to do things like open trouble tickets when they have problems and go through the web to monitor and track resources, fundraising informational programming information. It will make our network less reliant on email. and using new technologies like RSS, syndication, and other things. But if anyone wants to see these sites or demo them, I have a laptop in the back, and you guys are more than welcome to check it out. It's very big news. The next site is for Pacifica Foundation as a whole. It's called pacificafoundation.org. Basically, if you're in this room or listening to this broadcast or listening to it in an archive, this site is for you. It's for the internal folks who love and want every piece of information, financial, internal, anything they can get their hands on. I'm taking that out of Pacifica.org, and it's going to be moving to PacificaFoundation.org. The folks here will be empowered to develop the site themselves. If you convene a committee, you will develop that site. You will put in the minutes, your agenda, yourselves. The staff as well will have private as well as public information for us to put manuals, handouts, staff handbooks, board handbooks, etc. It will basically help us go to the next level in terms of information management. I'm breezing through this because in the past, I think a lot of the technical stuff kind of leaves you all with deer in the headlights. Usually in the past, I would bring, this is the third meeting, third configuration of a PMB I've seen, and in the past, I would bring spreadsheets of numbers going back 2, 3, 4 years now of traffic. I will spare you the numbers. You all see plenty of budgets, and I don't think after seeing all the budgets you want to see more traffic, but the numbers are very good. We have great growth on the Pacifica.org, and I think the spreading and these niche sites are going to just add the cumulative effect of the traffic will be, I would imagine, another quantum leap going forward. Finally, the Pacifica.org site, being stripped of all affiliate information and all internal information, will be a site for our internal content. It will have massive programming amounts, not just 3-4 programs. It will have as many producers that want to participate. There's a learning curve that's going to be involved for producers to get on board and be able to use this new technology. I will be around as well as the other other human resources to help in the transition. I know you guys have been here for a while. The audio port, as Ursula mentioned, is live. It's a great new tool. Our sister stations, our affiliate stations are sharing files, actualities, raw sound. We're able to collaborate in ways we've never been able to as a network. We're going to be adding some additional technologies to that to make accessing programming a little easier, including podcasting, including live KU streaming. So new affiliates like Bush Radio, like our internet-only affiliate stations who don't have satellite KU technology can access the live program that we do, the great specials that we do, as well as another initiative is to archive these specials on the KU so that people can go back and access them as well. I know I've said a lot, and I guess that's it. If anyone wants anything and questions or wants to see any technology, what I'm working on, my name is Pete again. You're more than welcome, and enjoy your stay in New York. Thank you.
It's kind of sad, but I mean, if that's going to be it, you're going to hear from me, and it's okay. But I'm just going to point out it's sad that we can't even just look at the sheet for KPFA, even if there's no report. I mean, we are the biggest station and network.
Hi. I'd just like to apologize and to the board. The two reps from KPFA can't be with us this weekend. They send their regrets. Rosalinda, the KPFA LSB chair, and Roy, the KPFA general manager, both have excused absences from the meeting. But there will be, obviously, in Berkeley at the next meeting in June. We do have one quick slide. Lonnie, do you want to go through it quickly?
Sure. I did talk to Roy Campanella, and he did outline for me this slide for KPFA. KPFA does have capital needs. I think we've said it many times before, but they have a water issue and the foundation of their building, and they need to take care of that. They do have another restaurant that's currently been vacant for some time now, and they had wanted to rehab that spot. They have tremendous space needs. They're really sort of stacked up there. The cost is $150,000, maybe $250,000. They were trying to get it in their budget this year, but were not able to. But you can't let water seep into your foundation and not do much about it. You have to, at some point, try to address it. They have HD radio, which they're trying to move into that area, as are many of our stations. The cost, what is HD radio going to cost, Dan? 15, 20, 50?
Per station.
$75,000 for adding on HD radio capacity. People ask what HD radio is. I didn't know. Somebody explain HD radio. Digital
radio. High definition radio.
Yeah, what does that mean now? Yeah, sure.
It's a digital form of audio delivery, but using, I believe, some of the sidebands. But it's a proprietary system that CPB is offering some funding to develop. It'll require special receivers, and hopefully we can talk about it soon.